This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago, and he'll join us in just a few moments. First off, Austin Pfluger is a representative from Texas, and actually, he represents the Permian Basin region deep in oil and gas, and says political policy is to blame.
When President Zelensky was asked, and I personally asked him this question about what Nord Stream meant to him, he said that without Nord Stream, that Russia would not have the impetus or the leverage to invade Ukraine. That was 18 to 20 days prior to the invasion. So I'd like to ask my colleagues on the other side of the aisle if their next amendment is to prevent American companies from making a profit. Maybe that's the next amendment that we're going to see, because the American public is not buying this.
It's the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. Bob, let's get started. Cattle on feed report out from USDA on Friday. Are you looking bearish or bullish at this?
Yes, we did get the latest data point from the USDA, that being the cattle on feed report. So we got our monthly report card, and relative to expectations, the on-feed number came out a bit higher than what had been expected by the trade going into the report. Placements number came in relatively more significantly higher than what the trade had expected going into the report, and the marketings were about a push. So that placements number being 3 percentage points higher than the pre-trade guesstimate and higher than the top end of the ranges that were coming out before the report really pointed towards bearish. And here we are with pretty good moves to the upside today. So both the feeder cattle and the live cattle on the open, as I watched it, did do what you would have expected them to do, meaning open up lower. But just throughout the day, it just grew and grew and grew and climbed, and obviously finding bidders, and ended up with some pretty good moves to the upside. So there wasn't any follow through on the day based on that bearish cattle on feed report. So that, to me, just looking at that one data point and how the market reacted to it and what it could have done and didn't do, maybe this could be one of those weeks where we see a decent push to the upside at some level. So we'll see how that all kind of plays out. Number dynamics working in the livestock market. In terms of cattle last week, let's see, the southern live cattle traded mostly 136 to 138. That was about $2 lower than the previous week. Northern dressed cattle traded for around 223 to 228, roughly around $3 lower than the previous week. So just from the perspective of the cash, that was a bearish element happening last week, and the market traded that way. So we saw a good little move to the downside, at least for the four remaining days from last week. Monday was a bit of a move to the upside, and then this thing just kind of fell back the following 4 days going into Friday. So cash was weaker. Right now, that looks like the Packers are in a pretty good spot, in as much as over the last month or so, they've had a tactic of buying for their needs and deferred delivery options. So that's taken away, that had been taking away a little bit of any kind of bullish potential in terms of the Packers having to come in and do some business, because they kind of basically set it up to where they're not going to need to do as much as they normally do over the next few weeks or so. So we'll see how that all plays out. Cash this week is called $2 to $3 lower. Could it still happen? Sure, today's only Monday. And we'll see how this thing, if this moves that we saw today, have any kind of legs to them. But it looks to me, just based on what the futures are telling us, that maybe cash won't be as low as they're expecting. It might come in like a buck or two, but not maybe two to three. We'll see how it goes. Or maybe even steady. We'll see how it goes. The other elements that are kind of hitting the market are the bigger picture stuff. So bearish demand is expected based on what's going on with inflation and squeezing of the pocketbooks. So in terms of maybe spending some of that, if there is any, discretionary income on some high-end steaks and stuff, that's a little bit of psychology that's happening in the marketplace with the big slide that we've seen over the last few weeks. In addition, we've got weights that are still a little bit on the heavier side. So last week, the estimated average dressed cattle weight was 828 pounds. The five-year average is 805. So we're still sitting at relatively high levels, and that's just math, right? It's how many we process times the amount of weight, and that helps us bring into the give us the production number. So as long as that weight number stays high, slaughter number stays steady, then there's some extra product out there that we need to move along. So that's just one kind of thing that's weighing on the market a little bit. And the other thing is just a trend with the cow slaughter running fairly at a relatively higher than average pace, basically due to these big high input prices that we're seeing that have developed over the last year and a half or two, and then the drought in the western U.S. So more being processed, shall we say, through that way, at least more being coming out the fields and being processed, and that adds to the product again. So a few different dynamics there. We'll see how this all plays out. Again, pretty good move to the upside. Technically speaking, I know we don't always talk about technicals, but technically speaking, the formation that was put in today in the August live cattle futures is called a bullish engulfing candle, which means it opened up lower than Friday's low and it closed higher than Friday's high. So basically all of today's action started out lower, ended up higher than Friday, and just technically speaking, typically you would see some kind of follow through. So we'll see where it can get to. Short-term resistance up there, in my opinion, somewhere around the 133 quarter level. And we went out at 133.02 today, so that's not too much of a stretch. If we can get above there, then maybe we see a retest of that high from last week, which was 134.40. And if so, maybe we start hitting some buy stops and just they could propel a little bit higher. As for feeders, didn't necessarily have a bullish engulfing candle, but it did have a similar type pattern with opening lower and ending up towards the very high end of its range. It's going to keep its eyes on what's going on with the grain markets. And interestingly, today for corn, the market ended up higher. Wheat was up about 28 cents. So just looking at that in the aggregate there, that would normally be something that would be a bearish element for feeders. And yet today it was able to do that little bullish move. So I think that shows some relative strength there too. So we'll see how it all plays out. That's my interpretation of what happened to the cattle on feed, and more importantly, my interpretation of the reaction to the cattle on feed. So we'll wait to see what's going on with cash this week and trade accordingly.
Let's talk Kansas wheat tour. That wrapped up last week. Does that really set the stage for more volatility in the wheat market?
Yeah, the takeaway, my opinion, for that Kansas wheat tour was the pegging, in their opinion, of the 22 hard red winter wheat crop at 261 million bushels. That's 10 million bushels below the estimate that the USDA came out in May. So what that does is it offers up debate, right? So the USDA has given us their opinion. Now we've got the tour that's got a number. And to your point about volatility, it's just a bit of uncertainty. It would have been nice if they came out and they matched perfectly. Maybe that would be a little consistency in the market, but nonetheless, came out a little bit lower. Now, I don't know if today's move in wheat is 100% attributable to the Kansas wheat tour analysis, but it was higher. So Chicago wheat was up around 25 cents in the July contract, ditto for the hard red winter wheat, the KC variety, and then Minneapolis was up around 20 cents or so. But we did get the data point, and again, a little bit different than what the USDA gave us. So here we are trying to figure out what to do with the data, and it's just going to take some time to figure out what's really going on up there, right? So beyond the report from the wheat tour, other elements impacting the wheat in specific is Ukraine. Their grain exports of late, the opinion out there is it could reach about 1.5 million metric tons in May. That compares with April's about 1 million metric tons, so 50% more. The latest in terms of expectations is that their goal is to increase the volume to about 3 million metric tons per month. So within the context of the conflict that's ongoing, really interesting to see the resolve in continue to do as much business as they can do. Think back to when this just started in March. There were some opinions that nothing was going to get planted in Ukraine. It was going to be such a mess, right? And yet we are getting plantings in Ukraine, and they are growing at this point, the quantity that they're able to move out of there. Do we wish it was more? Absolutely. But nonetheless, it's heading in the right direction. So we'll have to see how that supply side of the equation continues to grow. The France situation in terms of their hot and dry conditions, Agrimaire on Friday, they cut the spring wheat rating, there in France by about 9% in the good to excellent category, down to 73% of the crop. And that's down about 14% in the last 2 weeks. So things are deteriorating in France, which also leans towards the bullish development that might align with the data that came out from Kansas. And that could be another element as to why the market's rallying as strong as it is today. Then the latest data point that we're going to get from the USDA is going to be the crop progress in terms of the planting progress, and that'll come up this afternoon. And right now the trade is expecting corn planting to be about 64-65% complete, that versus the 79% year average. So improving, but slower than average. Soy planting, same story, 48-50% is the number that the trade's looking for. Average is 55%. And then for the hard red spring, planting expected to be about 52-53% by the trade. The average these days, or the average over the last 5 years, is 88%, so lagging quite a bit. So there's a lot of ground to be made up there. So we'll see how this, see how the numbers come out from the USDA and trade it accordingly. Look for new data, watch the export sales wire, and trade accordingly.
All right, we've covered quite a bit of ground, but if we want to talk one-on-one, how do we do that?
Sure. Pick up the phone, give me a call. Number is 312-987-2053, or send me an email at bmauer@manducatrading.com. Or you can reach out to us or just check out what we're about by going to the website at www.manducatrading.com or www.myfuturesadvisor.com.
Bob Mauer's with Manduca Trading in Chicago on today's Agribusiness Report.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
When it comes to farming cotton in West Texas, the formula for success is simple. Put strong in, get strong out. That's why growers rely on Delta Pine brand cotton. Bred, tested, and made in West Texas for West Texas growing conditions. Strong is a legacy all its own. Protect yours with strong cotton from Delta Pine. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Bob Mauer, Manduca Trading, Chicago.
You don't just farm for you. There's generations before you and generations that will come after. You live up to legacy as much as you build one for the future to come. And it's why our all-new Gleaner S9 Series Combines blend technology and know-how to give you the very best in control, comfort, and combine performance. It's the next generation Gleaner for the next generation of farming. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Why sorghum?
I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice.
It's the Agribusiness Report. Keep up with Bob Maurer and Manduca Trading in Chicago online, myfuturesadvisor.com.
You don't just farm for you. There's generations before you and generations that will come after. You live up to legacy as much as you build one for the future to come. And it's why our all-new Gleaner S9 Series Combines blend technology and know-how to give you the very best in control, comfort, and combine performance. It's the next generation Gleaner for the next generation of farming. Learn more at LivingstonMachinery.com and to find a location near you. Livingston Machinery, 24/7 service for your 24/7 operation.
Why sorghum?
I think sorghum is a smart choice for growers because it just fits well with our limited moisture. There's a lot of improvement the last few years. It's just been a really good crop for us. It just works.
Sorghum has the ability over many crops to sit and wait on moisture, so it's a smart choice there.
Sorghum is a smart choice because it is flexible and tough. It's a good crop.
Rain or shine, sorghum is the smart choice.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
USDA is reporting that the nation's cattle feedlots on May 1st were feeding 12 million head,
which was the highest May 1st number since the series began in 1996.
And 2% above May 1st a year ago. USDA livestock analyst Shale Shagham says that's partly the result of large numbers of placements of cattle into feedlots during March. And now during April, placements were 1.8 million head, which is about 1% fewer than April last year. This surprised some analysts who were expecting placements to be down 4.5%. But Shagham says either way, the USDA report suggests a dwindling number of animals outside feedlots and, of course, adding to the number of placements.
We are looking at it. The fact that for some parts of the country, you are still having to put those cattle in feedlots because there may not be forage alternatives for you.
All this suggesting a continued reduction in the beef cattle herd, and with it,
beef production is expected to fall in 2023.
Cattle prices and beef prices expected to do the opposite. Gary Crawford, Washington.